A play fake. Young goes deep middle. He's got Jerry Rice. Touchdown 49ers!
Welcome to another edition of the 49ers Family Podcast, where three generations of 49ers fans break down the game each week and hear from Grandpa Mike as he shares personal experiences and stories since he became a fan in 1949. My name is Josh, and I'm here with my dad, Jared, and my grandpa, Mike. He's back, and we are a 49ers family. All right, another win to break down. Welcome back, Grandpa.
Thank you, Josh. Good to be home.
Yep. Good to be home. Good to be back in the win column, back on a winning streak, I should say. Taking down the Tampa Bay Bucks 27-14. We're going to break it down tonight, talk about some of the highlights, some of the stats coming out of the game, even including some potential opportunities, ramping up into this tough three-game stretch now where we go Seattle, Philadelphia, Seattle. It's going to be brutal. It's going to be important as the playoffs are getting closer and closer, and these games are definitely going to influence that playoff race. But yeah, Dad, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I was very happy with our play for the most part. And just nice to get out of there with a victory, keep the winning streak going. And it was good. We had some offensive firepower. That was fun to see.
Bet we did. We had a 49er QB with a perfect passer rating. First time ever with more than 20 pass attempts. Most recently, both Joe Montana and Steve Young had a perfect passer rating in 1989, which is a long time ago. That was before I was born. But Brock Purdy is delivering. He is proving everybody wrong that he's more than just a game manager. He's more than just the weapons around him. His level of anticipation, reading defenses, is truly elite, as is his 10-yard burst that gets him out of the pocket, eyes downfield, finds his guy. I always kind of just like subconsciously track incompletions. And I was like, okay, three incompletions at the half like that. And that's pretty good. That's on track to have six incompletions of the day, 19 for 25, something like that. That's still a heck of a day. And then no, he only had one incompletion in the whole second half. And it was awesome.
That's crazy. I mean, it really is amazing. And yeah, it's who would have thought that the Niners would have one of the top NFL quarterbacks in a last round draft pick. Unbelievable.
He is projected to be a Pro Bowl quarterback the way that he's performing. We talked about some of his stats last week. We'll talk about them again today. And he would be the first Pro Bowl quarterback on the Niners since Jeff Garcia. Also, no, don't love that statistics, but yeah, it's true. Yeah. Grandpa, thoughts on the game? Quick thoughts.
Well, life is good. Life is good in Ninerland. When you think about it, since the bye, during the last 2 weeks, the 49ers have outscored their Florida opponents 61-17.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's very convincing. So they're back, and how sweet it is. I would hope that, Brock Purdy has silenced some of his skeptics with this perfect game. I mean, I don't know why people are berating him, but they do. It's basically out of jealousy, I'm sure. But Purdy has posted a passer rating of 100 or greater in 10 of his first 15 starts. I mean, he just does this all the time. And not only do we have the leading passer in football, but we also have the leading rusher in the NFL. And the reason I say that, Christian McCaffrey with now 854 yards, is the last time a 49er led the NFL in rushing was Joe the Jet Perry in 1954.
Wow.
At 69 years ago. So, and this is a big thing. Now, Wes would remember that. I know my buddy Wes would remember Joe the Jet Perry, number 34. But McCaffrey is amazing, week in and week out. Tampa came in with the seventh best run defense, and we ran it 30 times, got 115 yards. So the only thing we didn't really do well was red zone. We keep stubbing our toe in the red zone. We were 2-for-4 in the red zone against Tampa and 6-for-14 in the last four games. So we're kind of stalling when we get inside the 20. And with our upcoming schedule, we need to correct that. The ball needs to get in the end zone. We're not going to win these games on field goals.
Yeah.
And finally, just FYI to the world, Brock Purdy is in the MVP race. He's a candidate MVP.
And he's only 23 years old. I was talking to Danny, my brother-in-law, about that, and it's just crazy that he's not only is there the whole, you know, sixth round thing or whatever, seventh round, whatever it was, and he's still only 23. Like he even Patrick Mahomes didn't start his whole rookie year. He started his sophomore year. This is Brock Purdy's technically his sophomore year. He didn't start until whatever it was, week 11 of his right. rookie year. So he just wrapped up his first quote unquote full season's worth of games. And yeah, he this through this week is via PFF number one in yards per attempt, number one in completion rate, number one in passer rating, and number one in big time throw rate, which puts the Niners at number one offense overall by a lot. The defense, from a DVOA perspective, that thing has a lot of considerations and kind of factors put into that, not just yardage or points or whatever. But Niners are the eighth ranked defense right now. They 2 weeks ago, before the Jacksonville game, they were 15th, kind of mediocre middle of the league. But in the last 2 weeks, to your point, Grandpa, they have moved up seven spots with two stellar showings with turnovers, limiting yards. And let's look at that stat sheet. The Bucs had the same amount of first downs as the Niners did. They were 50% on third down. It felt like a little bit we couldn't get off the field, but we forced two turnovers as well as two turnover on downs. Those count as, I always count them as pseudo turnovers because it turns over the ball. They don't get to score points. They were 1-for-3 on third down and then also fumbled the ball and threw one interception at the very end of the game. So, Grandpa, what else pops out to you on the stat sheet?
Well, let's see. Let's take a look. Of course, you know, Purdy's perfect game, 21-for-25, 333 yards and three touchdowns. Like Trent Williams and Nick Bosa say, we've won the lottery with Brock Purdy, or more appropriately, we've struck gold. I mean, it's really incredible what this guy is doing. And, you know, when you said others have sat their first year, Aaron Rodgers sat his first 4 years behind Brett Favre. Right. And, you know, he's just completing his rookie year. He's now one game into his sophomore year. So it's amazing. And then let's see, Brandon Ayuk had 156 yards. He's going to be an all-pro this year. This guy is just amazing, getting open. And we held Tampa to 66 yards rushing, which is very, very good. Fred Warner just always amazes me. I love watching him play. He is so fast, and he covers so much ground. He had 12 tackles, half a sack, some tip balls. He was just all over the place. And then you always – the guy that we never mention is Dre Greenwald, and he's going to be an all-pro this year as well, I think. I mean, he's just solid. Bosa and Young each had a sack. Jake Moody is now 16 for 19 in field goals. That's 84%. So it's really very good. He's 2 for 3 over 50 yards. One was 57 yards. Wisnowski had a 60-yard punt, and J.R. Brown had his first interception. He's going to be good. So let's see what else. You mentioned, Josh, you look at incompletions. Tampa had 16 incompletions, 16 balls hit the grass. We had 4. And then we had 4 sacks this week, 5 last week. So the defensive line, the pressure has picked up. And the Niners are back.
They sure are. On the point, I put it in our group chat, and I could tell you were like, what? And the Niners forced 38 pressures on the day on 45 dropbacks. Eric Armstead had 12 himself, Nick Bosa 9, Chase Young 5, Javon Hargrave 4. But 38 pressures, it's a season high. And in watching the game again, to a certain point, you know, the only thing that was really working for the Buccaneers was the quick pass game. If they got the ball out inside of 2 seconds on those tiny routes, those are pretty hard to defend. They were just getting yardage and yardage and yardage. But when they had to run the ball, they couldn't. And when they tried to do anything more than 10 yards down the field, Baker Mayfield had no time and was rushed, and the ball was always coming out, too early, off the timing of the play. And I mean, while we only had the one interception at the very end of the game, I swear there were like 3 missed interceptions or dropped interceptions. I was like, we were letting them stay in the game. And I know we were also talking about this, that as great of a score of it was, it won by 13. You did wish that, one, the Niners would convert better in the red zone. 2, we'd get some of those interceptions. If they hit your hand, you got to catch those balls. I mean, those are huge. And 3, the offense had the chance to slam the door shut, put the nail in the coffin, whatever analogy you want, at the end of the game, and did not. And they flashed to the sideline and showed Christian McCaffrey punch the surface tablet. He punched the surface tablet to the ground. He was so mad that they couldn't finish the game out on the field and what's it called, winning for me. But all in all, it was pretty good. I will say, looking at our score predictions, Grandpa put in his score prediction right before the game at 24 Niners 24 Bucks 18, with the final score Niners winning by 13. I have to give the closest one to Dad. Dad, you had Niners 34-10, so kind of a few more points on each side, but you had us by 14, and the final score is by 13. So I gave it to you. Overall, we're still all pretty similar against the spread. Grandpa 4-5, Dad 5-5, me 3-7. I'm the worst there. Then the over/under, Grandpa and Dad, you guys are tied 6-4, 6-4. I'm 4-6. And then Grandpa has the most close games at 4, Dad 3.5, me 2.5. So you guys are schooling me. But super fun. Any other things, Dad, that you wanted to point out about the game, stats coming out, anything that impressed you or maybe you think could be better?
No, I think you guys hit it all. I think we had some really good big plays. I just didn't like how Tampa was able to go up and down the field at times against our defense. I think that we got to be a little more stout on the defense. And then we have to convert on, like we needed to in the fourth quarter to stay on the field, to run the clock out. Things like that, when we're in a do or die situation, we got to be able to convert the third down, and make the first down. So we have a lot there. We just need to sharpen the tools a little bit more and be able to just put our foot on the throat of our opponent a little more decisively and not let them hang around, because we could get hurt you know. But we were firing well offensively. Obviously, Purdy had a great game. It was beautiful to watch. Our defense played well and better than they have been by far. And I love the pressures. I think that is going to be a thing we'll continue to see. But we got to be able to make the stops and just not allow teams to put up as many yards as they did and as easily as they did at times, Tampa Bay, when they figured out the short, quick pass and stuff. So, but anyhow, I'm grateful that we came out 13-point, you know, winners.
Yep, for sure. Grandpa, game ball. Who would you give a game ball to?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people that could deserve a game ball, but I would give mine to Fred Warner. He had 12 tackles, half a sack, tipped a couple of balls. I mean, just was all over the place. So Fred Warner gets my game ball.
Right on. I'll take a minute and call out who you already did, but Jair Brown, backup safety. He was our third-round draft pick this year, so he's a rookie. He saw, I don't know if it was his first bits of action this game. He might have gotten in and some garbage time snaps on some others, but it's definitely his first meaningful snaps. And with, you know, Hufanga going out, we'll talk about injuries in a second, but yeah, Hufanga did sustain an ACL injury, ACL tear. His meniscus and MCL are intact. So as they said, it's a clean, just ACL tear. Unfortunately, he is done for the year, already put him on IR. And Jair Brown, who was really supposed to be Tashaun Gibson's replacement at the end of this year, has now become the replacement for an all-pro Hufanga. And he had a shaky start. He had one throw down the seam that... Mm-hmm. They got kind of probably the biggest gain of the game. But then after that, they targeted him a few times. He got his hand in there, ripped the ball out. He laid a hit on a guy as he bobbled the ball. And then at the very end of the game, yep, he Baker once again was rushed, threw the ball a little early, and Dre Greenlaw was going in to guard the guy kind of on a slant. The ball hits Dre Greenlaw in the helmet. Bounces up toward the back of the end zone. Jair Brown sees it, snatches it kind of acrobatically, snatches it, prevents it from touching the ground as he falls on kind of on top of it and secures the interception. And that was one of the things that we even talked about on this podcast, that he is a ball hawk. He has a lot. He had played at Penn State, has a lot of interceptions in the games that he played. And, you know, the Niners didn't have a pick until the third round. They had a lot of time to evaluate the third round talent and who they might perceive as a second round talent that falls to the third round. And that's what they said about Jair Brown. So I'd give him a game ball to praise him for his role at the end of the game, but also to instill some confidence in him going forward, because we're going to need him. And
he's going to be a good one.
Yeah, he should be a good one, but he is a rookie, and he might, you know, there will be some bumps and bruises along the way, but I know right. The team believes in him.
Yeah.
What about you, Dad?
I'm going to have to go with Brock Purdy on this one, just as a game ball. Just his QBR rating, relatively a perfect game. Was it 21 of 25? I think it was. 333 yards. Yeah, he just played a great game. And he makes those big plays. He finds the open man, keeps his eyes downfield when he's under pressure. He stands in the pocket, even though there's imminent danger and a hit coming his way. And then he made some, he used his legs a little bit and converted some first downs. That was really good. And that keeps the defense on their toes, keeps the linebackers honest. So he kind of was just doing all the little things that mattered and then making the big plays. And even just those short little passes that he makes at times. I think on one of the touchdowns, Christian McCaffrey or something, how Christian McCaffrey kind of ran, you know, diagonally, like almost through the line, and then he was so wide cool. open. Yeah, it was a beautiful play. But then Brock Purdy just lays it in there. That looks easy, but that's not easy. Those are things that other quarterbacks sometimes can't deliver the ball with a player on the run. And that would maybe cause the play to come up a little short, you know? So he just does, he makes it look easy. He ran a perfect offense relatively, and he gets my game ball.
Love it. Interesting statistic. Just once again, it's well documented that he plays well against the blitz. Against the blitz on Sunday, he was 13 of 16 for 231 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions, and the perfect passer rating of 158.3. Another thing, one more point about Brock Purdy is that he has the highest EPA per play. Or essentially, it's an efficiency metric behind what is somehow, I don't know who, I'm trying to find who the source is, but PFF, team pass block grade. The Niners are 28th in pass blocking grade, and he has the highest EPA per play, the most efficient quarterback with the fifth worst O-line pass protection.
That's crazy, and that doesn't surprise me, because he makes things happen when it's like nothing's going to happen, you know, on those blitzes and other things. He comes up with that big play. I mean, it is amazing. Another thing, lastly, I loved about this game and was very important is we play our best football, in particular offensively, when we score first. And I know I mentioned that several times, but Brock Purdy plays best from the lead. You know, if he's leading the pack and out of the gate strong, he can keep the pressure on the defense and the pressure on the other team. But scoring first is what the Niners, it's what we have to do. Always, you know, that's when we play our best football.
For sure. And I think a lot of that has to do with timing too. He has great timing, anticipation, reading the defenses. You know, one of the plays, I'm trying to remember exactly which one, but it was a big gain. But Brock Purdy was in shotgun, five step drop, and right when he hit that back foot, boom, ball was coming out. The whole play, but it might have been Debo or somebody, but was like not even into his break yet. And he was already on the back foot, ball was coming back, cocked, loaded, boom. Just takes a lot of intellectual ability to be able to.
Yeah.
All timing.
Even Baker Mayfield, he double hitched a lot in this game, that he second guessed the timing. And Purdy is stellar when it comes to that.
Yeah, he reads defenses very well, very, very well. I mean, like a 10-year quarterback in the league, he reads defenses, you know, very, very well.
Yeah. Fantastic. All right, well, let's transition over to the Seagulls week. I'm just kidding, the Seahawks. Talk some Seahawks, Niners. Obviously, we know these guys better than we would maybe like, but longtime division rivals, especially in the last 10 years, has been a somewhat heated rivalry, really kind of since Pete Carroll came into the picture. One, he elevated that team, got them to Super Bowl and won a Super Bowl, etc. But, you know, a lot of history between these two. I still think it's so weird that Roger Sherman... I like him now. I could have sworn I would never like that guy. And now he totally plays both sides. He loves the Seahawks in his time there now. And he loves the Niners. He really respects the Niners. In fact, a lot of the time on his, he has a pretty popular podcast. He is going to bat for the Niners more than any other team. He's goes to bat for Brock Purdy. He goes to bat for Nick Bosa. Even on that 3-game losing streak, he was saying, you know, don't count these guys out. These guys are still, you know, his Super Bowl favorite. But it is just a little bit funny. All-time record versus Seattle. The Niners are 20-30 against them. Seattle is coming in the game at 6-4. We are obviously 7-3. This one, and part of the reason why we are recording this on the Tuesday night is because this game is Thursday Night Football, baby. Thanksgiving kickoff is at 5:20 p.m. Pacific. It's up in Seattle. It's going to be a cold one. Game time weather is supposed to be 42 degrees at the kickoff. Over under is 43. Niners are currently favored by 6.5. Which I want to talk about that in a minute here. But I do have to say, finally, because I love these uniforms, the Niners are wearing their white throwbacks. They look so good. I love these uniforms. I don't even need to say anymore about that. They just look so good in those white throwbacks. And I will say, it's part of that also, like, they don't wear a lot of throwbacks. In fact, this whole season, there's 17 games. The Niners only wearing their alternate jerseys three times. Their red throwbacks, they're wearing, they wore them against the Giants, actually also on Thursday Night Football. And then they will wear them against the Ravens on Christmas Day. This one, Thanksgiving Day in Seattle. So they wear their away jerseys, of course, are wearing their white throwbacks. So.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna be fun.
And then let's talk a little bit about injuries, and we'll kind of get into some of the, you know, get to know the foe segment. We talked about Talanoa Hufanga with his injury. One thing to note there, obviously, Jair Brown will fill his spot, but interestingly, and it kind of happened out of nowhere, but makes sense. I think it's a sensical call. Is that the Niners signed guard Ben Bartsch from the Jacksonville practice squad to the active roster. He's a guard, so add some guard depth. And that's a good transition because, unfortunately, Spencer Burford came out of the game on Sunday with a knee injury of some sort of soreness. He did not practice yet. Well, I guess they didn't have practice yesterday, but they did not. He did not practice today. Aaron Banks is coming back from his turf toe injury. He is questionable, but with any Thursday game, you know, the Tuesday injury report tells you a lot because it's the equivalent of a Friday injury report, just 2 days off from the game. So, you know, adding some guard depth there. Kyle Shanahan was asked about both Banks and Burford. He said Burford, if this was a normal week and we're playing on Sunday, he might be ready for Sunday. He's still questionable. They're not ruling him out yet for Thursday, but he didn't practice today, so that's not a great sign. And they will look to, you know, their practice squad and or, you know, depth, O-line depth for to fill in on those interior line spots at the guard. Tackles are still good. McKibbitz and Williams. Williams said he's back to, you know, close to 100%. I don't think anybody ever plays a pure 100%, but coming back from his ankle, he's feeling good, looking good. Other things to note, limited participants today. Javon Hargrave, he has a thumb injury. Can't imagine that would keep him out of the game, but just a note there. And then Shamar Jean Charles, cornerback, and Ray Raymond McLeod were also limited participants with a shoulder and rib injury. So things to note, it's a short week. We'll see what happens. You know, it reminds me of last year. I think it was also up in Seattle when Brock Purdy had his rib injury actually come in
right
of the game. And was he going to play? Was he not? Some crazy stories that actually came out of that he did not attempt a throw in practice all week, even leading up to the start of the game. And he told Brian Greasy, "I'm ready. I got this." And as we know, they went in there and won in Seattle. And that was huge, a huge game. So
21-13.
That was a good one. And then, you know, as much as we talked about the injuries on the Niners side, definitely some things to note on the Seahawks, and this will be kind of our transition into the get to know the foe segment. Geno Smith missed about a quarter with an elbow injury in their last game against the Rams, where they lost. Also, you know, very, you know, should be acknowledged as their running back Kenneth Walker III came out of the game with an oblique injury. Once again, talk about that short week. Same thing for them. They had a bunch of other guys dinged up, the shoulder, abdomen, knee, hamstring, shoulder, foot, toe injury. So it's going to be interesting. Jamal Adams, their star safety that they traded away the world for, he had a nagging knee injury that kept him out of the game on Sunday against the Rams, but he is expected to play this Thursday. So, you know, from an injury standpoint, I think, and Grandpa would love your take on this, I think that's probably why we're seeing the line be Niners by 6.5. I think it opened at 7. That's higher than I would have expected. Do you think that has to do with the injuries?
Well, it does, but they don't, you know, one thing about Pete Carroll, he always says that his players are going to play. I mean, they could have a broken leg. Oh, yeah, I'll play. I'll play on Sunday. So you never know with Pete Carroll. I think the Niners are just really that much better than Seattle. Whenever the schedule comes out in April, of course, I look at our schedule first, and then I look at the rest of the division. And when I looked at Seattle's schedule this year, they played the soft part of their schedule in the first half. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, bro, they're going to, you know, bolt out ahead and be 8-1 or something. They faced the Rams twice, which it turns out they lost both of those. I thought they'd win them. And they also have faced Carolina, the New York Giants, Cincinnati, Arizona, Cleveland, Washington, and Baltimore. So they're 6-4. I thought they'd be much better than that. But now they're going to really get into the teeth of their schedule. So the Seahawks are in trouble, folks. They're going to play the Niners, Dallas, the Niners, Philly, Tennessee, Pittsburgh, and Arizona. So they're going to be underdogs 5 of those 7 games. So Seattle is a tough road to hoe. And as you mentioned, Josh, Geno Smith suffered a strained tricep in his elbow. He came out of the game, but he did finish the game, and he was driving them on the last drive. They missed a 54-yard field goal. So whether he plays or not, you know, that'll come down to game time. Geno Smith he was drafted originally by the Jets and just kind of flopped. But he's done pretty well for Seattle, especially last year. He completes about 65% of his passes, and his backup is Drew Lock, the guy they got in the trade for Russell Wilson. But Seattle ranks 13 in passing offense with only 230 yards a game. So if they have to go to their second string guy, it's going to hurt them, although they have great receivers in DK Metcalf, who's a horse, and Tyler Lockett, who's just an excellent receiver as well. And Noah Fant is the tight end. So they have good receivers. Their quarterbacks are kind of in question. And then their running game is also going to be in question if Walker can't play. But they already ranked 25th in rushing. They only get 97 yards a game. So that's why I think the point spread is why it is they've played a weak schedule. They have a decent record that's, I think, going to change. Seattle scores 22 points a game and they give up 22 points a game. So, we'll see, but you know, this has been a heated rivalry because of the playoff games. Russell Wilson, when he came in, he just tormented us for 10 years. He went 12-4 against us. And I'm really glad to see him gone. And last year we were 3-0 against Seattle. So I think we're going to keep that going. And it'll, you know, I think we'll win easily. So a little bit about Seattle.
Love that. Yeah, what about you? Kind of what, yeah, thoughts about this game? What excites you? Maybe what scares you?
Overall, I'm looking forward to playing Seattle. Their defense is a little weak. Their offense is a little anemic. They can hit you with some big plays from Metcalf and others. And they're weak against the pass over the middle. That's a big thing. And that's where Brock Purdy likes to hit Kittle and Christian McCaffrey and others. They also are not, they're very susceptible to pressures on their pass plays, and they're not very good at defending that. And we're going to, I mean, it's going to be crazy. I mean, our ears will be pinned back and coming after Geno. So it's going to be a long day for them. I think we're going to do very, very well. I think where they're weak, we're strong. So if we can hold on to the ball and score first, protect the ball. I think that Purdy could have one of his biggest games of the season as far as yards. So we'll see.
That would be awesome. One thing that I noted in my kind of research looking at this game that definitely is in our favor is that Seattle recently signed a 41-year-old veteran, Jason Peters, to play right tackle. Yeah. He obviously, to play at 41, you need to be smart and savvy, no dir. But when you're going up against Nick Bosa and Chase Young, and he lines up on the right side, so most likely he's going to go up against Chase Young. Good luck with that. I do think that their O-line is going to struggle with our D-line. I think our D-line is fired on all cylinders, really, since Chase Young joined the game. That obviously takes a lot of pressure off the secondary, off Jair Brown at the safety position. It doesn't make me excited. I think I just always get nervous about these games because I follow college football too much, but rivalry games, the craziest stuff happens. I mean, a 10-point spread is nothing in a rivalry game. It's just disregard it because you know something crazy is going to happen. I think same thing for this one. I was very shocked to see it be a 7-point line when it came out. It's moved a tiny bit to 6.5. But you know, with home field advantage, and home field advantage in Seattle is a big deal. And as we've talked about before, the sound reverberates off that stadium, and so it gets crazy loud. And typically you slot kind of a 3-point bogey for home field advantage, so that's a 10-point. But even for them, I'd give them like a 4-point advantage. So yes, are the Niners the better team? Definitely. And the record shows it, the stats show it, the eye test show, will tell you that the Niners are significantly better than the Seahawks, but it still scares me, I gotta be honest.
I agree.
Seattle has made a lot of changes on defense. Nine of the 11 guys are different than they were last year, but their numbers are the same. So they still do not play the run well. Their linebackers can't cover.
Yep.
We should be, I think we'll be fine. The deal is Pete Carroll plays these games close. He runs the ball, eats up the clock. At the end of the third quarter, he wants the game to be very close, and then anything can happen. And that's where Russell Wilson used to kill us. But we have much more talent than Seattle, so I expect the Niners to win, by more than 7.
All right. Let's talk about keys to the game. Maybe, Dad, starting with you, kind of, what do you think is the key to the game for the Niners to pull this one out?
The key to the game, I think, is just playing tough on defense and scoring first. I'll pick two things. So we score first, put the pressure on, and then we just, if we come out on fire with our defense, just flying around the ball and make a few good stops to start the game, I think that will set the tone for the game. So key to the game, score first, and defense coming out and a couple three and outs right away for Seattle, and we'll ride off into the sunset.
That'd be awesome. Grandpa, what about you?
Well, let me think about this. Turnovers. Whoever wins the turnover battle, it's so important. So we can't turn the ball over, and we need to get some. That would be my key to the game.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to think about different things. You know, I think maybe I'll throw two out there as well. One, I'd say third down efficiency for us. Maybe I'll throw both sides, whatever. But third downs, I think we're big. Even coming out of the Bucs game, I was like, ah, man, we were 40% on third down. They were 50% on third down. I'd like to see – you always want to be on, a little bit on the upside of that. Other than that, I would just say, you know, QB pressure. They will not be able to do anything if our D-line continues to get home. And even, you know, we didn't get home from a sacks perspective as much as you would have thought against the Bucks, but the amount of pressures was impressive, and it threw off the timing. And I think we can do the same thing to these guys. They have great receivers. We'll need to play tight on them, but that's all we can prevent any big plays if we can get to the quarterback and not let that big play develop. So awesome. And then I guess, Grandpa, back to you. What would you say is your score prediction? You said Niners by more than 7. What are you going to say?
Well, I'm going to contradict myself because I do an analysis on numbers and it tells me what the score is going to be. So my analysis this week would be the 49ers are going to win 25-19. Okay. That's what the numbers, 25-19.
The numbers. All right. You're taking the over. That adds up to 50, 44. So taking the over, mentioned the over under is 43, Niners by 6.5. Dad, how about you?
Purdy 30, baby. 31-17.
You want a stress-free Thanksgiving. That's what I'm seeing right there.
It's going to be fun. Brock Purdy is going to be, yeah, it's going to do his thing. The defense, I think our pressures against their offense, just going to really shut them down. Geno gets flustered if you get a lot of pressure on him, especially start the game. And then he makes silly mistakes and he'll turn over the ball. So I say it's going to be a pretty dominant game for the 49ers.
Okay. I am going to go Niners. I'm going to take the under. Not the under. Yes, the under. I can't do math in my head right now. Anyways, I'm going to say Niners 23, Seahawks 17. I think, once again, rivalry game. I think we'll win this game. I don't think it's going to be more than 7 points. I think something crazy is going to happen, whether it's a pick six or something crazy that is going to make this game closer than it should be. I hope it's 23-10 or 30-17, Dad, kind of like you said. But my experience with these rivalry games is that it's going to be closer than I would like. So I'd say Niners 23, Seahawks 17.
All right.
Okay.
Any last thoughts, Grandpa, as we head into this one?
A couple of comments on Jair Brown, since he's going to play now. He was a third-round draft pick. He was our top pick this past year because we didn't have a first or second. They went to Carolina for McCaffrey, but we moved up in the third round to get him, and the Niners really liked him. They thought he was going to go in the second round, and he's just got great instincts and recognition skills. He attacks the ball. He's an excellent tackler. And he's a lot like Kumunga. He's always around the ball. So he can really diagnose a play like Fred Warner does. He plays faster than his times, just like Jerry Rice did. I mean, they said Jerry Rice wasn't very fast. Nobody ever caught him. But anyway, he's going to be good. But like you said, Josh, it's his rookie year, and he'll probably make a couple of mistakes. But he's going to be a good one for a long time. So they had him pegged take Gibson's place next year. So he's just got kind of an early start. So that's a little bit about Jair Brown from Penn State.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Dad, how about you? Any last thoughts?
Not really. Just, I think, just within the first, 5-10 minutes of the game, we'll get a good feel about how that game's going to go down. So,
yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, I think the weather says this will be our first cold game of the year. Cold meaning, under 50 degrees at the start. But there will be more cold ones where that came from because we're playing at Philly the next week. And I guess I will say one more thing about that. We'll obviously break that down next week. But it hit me that, once again, the Niners with two Thursday night games will get two, quote-unquote, mini buys, meaning it's 10 days between games. So I think that is encouraging.
That helps, yeah.
For recuperation, for also just game planning against the Eagles that, I mean, freaking A, these guys are not that good. This Eagles team is very beatable. And yeah, I might eat crow if the Eagles pull it off on their home field against the Niners. But I watched that Chiefs-Eagles game, and I was just like, man, like, the Chiefs totally beat themselves, one. And the Eagles, I mean, sure, respect to them as an opponent, whatever. They win the close ones. That's why they are 9-1. They have won the close games. The Niners did not win the close games against Cleveland, against Minnesota. But I do, just thinking ahead a little bit, I do see that 10-day period after this one that should be good.
Yeah. One comment about the cold weather. And, I always think of where our players came from.
Yeah.
And Kittle went to Iowa. Purdy went to Iowa State. Bosa went to Ohio State. I mean, that's where they played. They played in cold weather. So no big deal.
Warner, BYU.
There you go.
I had to throw that out there, Grandpa. I had to.
So it's not, so the cold weather isn't all bad. That's most of these guys, that's where they grow up.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good point. It's not like these guys are born and raised in SoCal or something. Hufanga, maybe, being of Hawaiian and stuff, but unfortunately he's out.
Right.
But no, it should be a good one. It should be fun. And yeah, to our listeners, appreciate you guys tuning in. Have a very happy Thanksgiving. Hopefully the Niners can pull out this one and give us all a Thanksgiving present. A Thanksgiving turkey leg of Seahawk.
There you go.
Seahawk leg. But thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Go Niners.
Go Niners.
Go Niners.